Hello, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I'm Ash Riot.
And we are here for our show, November 6th. This is a live call-in show. Those of you who have notated our old number, it needs to be changed because BBS has a new call-in number. And the new call-in number is on the site, but if you're looking at a notepad from a couple weeks ago, it's changed. And the number is 888-628-6008.
Call in, please.
We welcome callers, and if you feel more comfortable just listening, we welcome that as well. Our topic tonight is guilt and shame.
What's the difference?
What's the difference between them? And this is a huge topic, a very broad topic, and we purposely left it broad because that gives us a lot of room to move around with it and to invite all of you to sort of share your thoughts and your ideas, you know, and anything else that comes to mind for you when you're listening to what we have to share. And before I start, I want to say, hey, Ash, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. We have a Halloween vlog. We apologize. We haven't been vlogging as often and frequently as we had intended to.
Awesome Halloween one.
Yeah, we had on our quirky kind of Halloween outfits. And for those of you who want to see someone not blink for over 6 minutes, then you must check in.
That's me. I don't blink for seriously over 6 minutes. And I won't even tell you what that's about until you watch the blog. You'll know.
That's right. So our blog is on our MySpace page as well as on our regular website. And
you can also see Travis totally like kissing Cheryl.
Oh, yes. Our new studio dog, Travis. Those of you who know us well know that my beloved dog, Anna, passed away August 11th, and she was with me for over 15 years, a beautiful chocolate lab. And she was in pretty well every studio. She couldn't be without me, pretty much. So every time we recorded, she was always in the studio. We'd actually take off her collar because she would sometimes jingle jangle. And you can actually hear her in some takes. People probably don't even realize that, but she's sort of in the background. It's interesting that we love her and we love animals. And Ash has a beautiful kitty named Mushu.
Mularushu.
Mularushu, but Mushu.
He was rescued from somewhere, we don't know. But he came to me and he was like on the porch for like a year. And I thought he was just a cat from somewhere else and came to visit, but he was so matted. And he's my soulmate. His name is Mularushu. I asked him what his name is and he's like, Mushu. I said, okay, that's your name. So
he definitely is really quite interesting. He's a beautiful, beautiful soul, that
he
cat.
Is.
And he's also beautifully aesthetically. What kind of cat is he?
A Maine Coon.
A Maine Coon, so he's beautiful in his colorings, and he also has this beautiful, big, huge, bushy tail.
And those beautiful pink lips.
That you love to kiss.
I kiss his little lips, and who cares? Well, actually, I kiss his nose, but anyway, we have Travis now.
Well, Travis was somebody, was a dog that, an acquaintance, actually, Billy Bonito. You know Billy.
Yes, of course. Billy from, Billy, his name was Billy Hopeless. He was from the Black Halos, and one of his friends, Jill.
One of his best buddies.
He's now of the Bonitos, yeah.
Yeah, he's in the Bonitos now, but that's how I found out about Jill, was through Billy.
Oh, cool.
And then Billy was saying about Jill being his best pal, and she rescues dogs, and please help her out. And so I contacted Jill, and she actually went down in, I don't know, just a small, like a four-door sedan. She went down to California just by herself. She's just a woman with passion. She's absolutely amazing, and her company is called Draft Doggers, and their mission is to save Chihuahuas and Chihuahua crosses because there's high kill shelters in California. So she went down and she came back with 10 dogs, and she messaged me and said, "Okay, I got 10 dogs. You want to come foster one?" And Ash came along with me, and we ended up going from fostering to adoption. And this little Travis is a rescue dog. He's a Chihuahua pug cross. He's called a Chug or a Pug-Wow-Wow, I don't know.
And now he has, like, the biggest family. He wears these little sweaters and gets eggs in the morning. And he has two moms, two dads.
He's got lots of grandparents.
An uncle daddy. A nana.
Yeah, he's got, lots of aunts.
And brothers and sisters.
Exactly.
And Sonia, who you can see in our Halloween vlog.
That's right. You can meet Travis's great auntie, Sonia. He's come from being a rescue dog from Orange County, California, to a dog that's just filled with love, and a lot of people love him. And he's our new mascot, and he's a lot smaller than Anna. Travis is a lot smaller, Anna was 68 pounds. Travis is, I think, now 14. And no replacement, but definitely has his own place. He's a lovely creature.
He looks like a seal.
He does. When you pull his ears back, he looks like a little seal pup. Or he looks like a fruit bat.
Oh, he totally looks more like a fruit bat than a seal. He does. Good one. I forgot about that one.
So Travis is our new hologram mascot. We record with him. He's with us right now as we're recording this show. And unfortunately, Mularushu is not.
Yeah, he's not down here. He's two floors up with his brother.
Or else he's gallivanting around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a little more, independent than Travis is. So that's about our animals. We love animals. And we know a lot of you, who are listening, love animals too. And you can't beat an animal for bringing love and a connection to, other mammals other than human beings.
Exactly. And we also should mention two more things.
Okay.
To stay tuned after this show for Jeannie's show.
That's right. Jeannie Martin has a new show. Our very, very dear friend, fabulous woman, big heart, lots of love, lots of knowledge, really, really amazing woman. Her new show is called The Creative Field, and this will be her second show, and her show will now be following our show every Sunday, every bi-weekly Sunday. And so stay tuned for Jeannie's show, mm-hmm. The Creative Field. She has the interesting mm-hmm. people. It's all about planet and keeping the planet here, pretty much, right?
True.
I mean, she wants to just talk about sustaining life, sustaining this planet, and just bringing joy. And we have the same message, but we share it in different ways.
Well, I mean, even last month or whenever it was that we were sitting at Moxie's with her for like 4 hours,
yes,
just talking and talking.
We went for lunch. And we almost went right into dinner.
Yes, seriously. I remember, what did I get? Some vegetarian, wrap or something?
I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't really like it that much. But I'm sure their food is great there. But I was more interested in, just listening to Jeannie talk.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, that was,
and
that was
she's
good.
Someone I've known for many, many years and greatly respect and admire her. And so we're hoping that you listeners will tune in and get hooked on Jeannie's show as well, because there's a lot to be learned from her. And a lot to be shared. She also is doing live radio, so you can call in on her show, too. Get to know her that way.
There's two more things.
You said
please,
two more, so now
please,
this is...
Please call in. That was my extra.
Okay, this
please,
is...
Please, I would really like to hear from you. We are interesting and fun. 888-628-6008.
What are they going to call in for now?
I don't know yet.
You just want them to jot down the number.
Yeah, jot down the number.
We haven't even started our
show
officially.
If you call in tonight, I'll give you a hug. Anyway.
You say that, and how can you deliver?
You know what? We'll find a way. Next week's show is Look What the Cat Drug In.
And the emphasis is on drug, D-R-U-G. We're not grammatically incorrect here. We've purposely titled our show that. That will be on November 20th, Look What the Cat Drug In. We're actually going to be talking about drugs.
We got a show that day.
And we're going to be talking about drugs on, how drugs are. With our own lives, we're going to share our own stories around drugs, misuse, abuse, and use, and in the music business, too. And we welcome you sharing your thoughts and ideas about drugs.
Yeah, pharmaceutical drugs, recreational drugs.
Illicit drugs.
Anything.
Yeah. We're going to talk about drugs. And
Look what the drug in.
There you go. So that's the next show, November 20th. So stay tuned for that, please. And put it in your calendars. But now we must get started with our guilt and shame show. And we, our last show was The Power of Love, and now we're talking about...
I know, we're so drastically, different. It's like, The Power of Love, this show's on guilt and shame.
We love you, now we will talk about how guilty you feel.
I think it's really important to do this show.
Definitely. I mean, we're excited about this show. We've got a lot of great things to share with you. We've been talking about the show, what we want to say. I think a lot of what we talk about, the things that we're inspired to talk about on this show, are things that probably most people wouldn't think that we would talk about, or most people wouldn't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
How many people really want to talk about guilt and shame? I don't think a lot of people do, because it's something that we hide.
Well, that's what I want. That's what I aim to stress in this show, is that, just rip yourselves apart and put yourselves back together. Do it.
What? In the show, or...
Listen to the show.
Your entire life.
Open up your body. Take all the crap out of it. And
is there
your
a
mind.
Sewer system of guilt?
There are many, many, many pipes in the sewer system of guilt and shame.
And those of you who didn't catch our Power of Love show. You're going to have to listen to that so you'll know what the reference I just made is. That was our last show. It was so cute. Ash just, spur of the moment, just on the fly, just came up with the sewer system of love, and I even quoted her on Facebook.
Oh,
I thought,
man,
that was perfect. The sewer system of love. But hey, the juxtaposition of that. Isn't that perfect?
It's true. I say so.
Love and sewer system, do the two coexist?
No.
Why not? If peanut butter and chocolate can coexist, can't
sewers don't taste as good as love does. There you go. Put that one on a t-shirt.
How about if you said the Roman aqueduct and the ancient Roman system of water and love? Is that too much of a mouthful?
So, this show's on guilt and shame. And
has nothing to do with sewer systems of guilt and shame.
And we're burning incense.
Yeah, we decided to sort of create an ambiance here. So we're sitting here and we're burning patchouli forest incense and we've got the candles on and just really wanting to get in the zone. And what we mean by the zone is just being really centered and being available to ourselves and to the connection that we feel that we have to source and to you. So here we go. I want to start with a quote. And this is something that's really cool because when Ash and I were talking, we got the same quote.
Yeah,
because the Kaufman quote.
Yeah, I know. But took me a second to remember.
So I love when that kind of synchronistic stuff happens because then I think, okay, we definitely have to talk about it because we both got it, right? So we're going to talk. I said one thing that was presented to me in my walk, the very first thing around guilt and shame was that guilt is I made a mistake and shame is I am a mistake. And that was actually done by Bradshaw in 1988. Again, I like to make sure that everybody gets the right credit. I don't like to plagiarize in any way. And if I've ever said anything and I haven't said who said it, it's because I don't know or I'm ignorant. There I go. To knowing that
rhymed.
I don't know and I'm ignorant.
No.
What kind of lyricist are you? That was a soft rhyme.
Oh, man. Lucky I'm drinking this coffee.
Are you here yet?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Can I continue?
I was already... Okay.
Who loves you, Ash? We all love you.
You do.
Anyway, John Bradshaw in 1988, he was the one who said that. He said that that guilt says, I've made a mistake. Shame says, I am a mistake. Guilt says, what I did was not good. Shame says that I am no good. And guilt says, I've done something wrong. Shame says, there's something wrong with me. And that's in a nutshell the difference between the two of them. And we want to talk about each of them. And we also want to share some, you know, stories from our own lives and invite you to do the same. Call in and talk about your thoughts and how guilt and shame has affected your lives. Because I think that I have a really big heart for suicide and suicide victims and families and victims included because of my own connection with having a suicide in my family with my father killing himself when I was 8 and also having, you know, friends commit suicide. And I really feel that suicide is a result of an intense amount of shame and guilt. You know, oftentimes guilt can turn into shame. And so people actually feeling that their lives don't matter mm-hmm. anymore or that they can't face mm-hmm. something, that they would actually take their lives. And so I really, 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 really want to stress to anyone who's ever feeling suicidal or any, you know, feeling that they're not connecting to themselves or to their purpose or to anything and feel this sense of isolation and shame and that it's only a feeling, it's temporary. Please trust that. Just value yourself, value your life, and recognize how important that you are and your life is. And that's one of the things that, you know, guilt and shame actually led me to a suicide attempt many, many, many years ago. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, but I'm really glad I'm still here. Mm-hmm. You know, and bottom line is that the guilt and the shame, I know how it feels, personal experience, it can be so big. And it can just feel like it's swallowing you whole and that you can't get out of it. There's that sense of, I will never, ever wash myself or atone mm-hmm. for anything. That, you know, what can bring me guilt may not bring you guilt. So it's a very personal thing too, mm-hmm. right? It's depending on your upbringing, your belief systems, you know, your personal ethics, your moral code that you've dictated for yourself. But yeah, I just want to say that. That sort of just came out. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's listening and feeling, you know, such an immense amount of guilt and shame that they just don't even think that their lives have value, I want to say, stop thinking that, because your life does have value, and just hang on until it changes, because it will change. Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, like, so, like, you and I have definitely dealt with people who've, I was going to say committed suicide, but
yes,
have thought about it.
Definitely. And shared it.
And shared it.
Yeah.
And really, like, I was talking to my friend the other day, and I don't know if he's listening, but probably not. One of his friends committed suicide, and he, I don't know, there's a lot of different emotions that just go along with it, because there's, like, the mess that people leave behind is a lot. Like, I mean, it goes from, you know, one person dying to someone else that's left behind maybe feeling suicidal. It's like, I don't want there to be a chain in this. Like, you don't need the shame, you don't need the guilt.
Well, I didn't even think about talking about this, but it's come up right now, because today, one of the things I was doing today was watching the Kurt and Courtney documentary that the BBC did years ago. And one of the things they were talking about was the suicides and the copycat suicides that resulted as from Kurt Cobain's suicide. And I think, like, this is why I guess I'm thinking about suicide right now, because I just think it's so sad. And I was reading in on the internet, I believe, just a few days ago, someone posted on Facebook that somebody was again bullied into killing themselves, an 11-year-old. And that really devastates me when I hear of children who are bullied. We've done suicide shows before, and so I don't want to get too much into this, because if you look into the archives, you can see we've actually done whole shows on suicide. But what I want to focus on here is I want to focus on the tragedy that each life is so precious. And the tragedy is that, what is it that causes us to feel that amount of guilt or shame, or to even buy in? For example, if someone is thinking their life has no value because someone is bullying them to a point where they feel that it has no value, what is it that makes us buy in to other people's perceptions of us? And so this is why I think it's really important to take a look at our own guilt and shame, and you know, to kind of take back our power. It's about self-empowerment. And yeah, it can be such a drag, because we're social beings and we want to connect, we want to love, we want to feel a connection with all of our fellow humans, you know, with a sense of we're special, they're special, we have fellowship, we have a sense of purpose, we can express emotion and we can feel really great and we can share ideas. And so we're naturally social beings, and when we feel that we've been somehow ostracized, or, you know, whether it's because of our sexual orientation, or whether it's because someone says they don't like our braces. You know, I had, when I was a kid. Well, yeah, boo-hoo me. No, not boo-hoo me. I mean,
that's, I know, it's just cute.
That's just
little braces.
That's just an idea of, you know, it can be from something that someone may see as trivial, but to the person who's suffering, it's huge, right? It's huge. And so what is it about ourselves? It's very intimate. Any decision that we make about suicide, or any decision we make in our entire lives, whether it's, should I go to the grocery store today, or should I backstab my friend? Any decision stems from an internal thought process, right?
Exactly. And I mean, instead of, it's almost like, see, to me, there's always something built in between, like, a right and a wrong, you know? So, like, guilt and shame, like, if I went, okay, you know what, I really should be working on the website today, and I'm just really, really tired, that's not call for shame, okay? Like, it's, sure, maybe, like, a little tinge of guilt or something, right? But, you know, like, that's just an example.
So you don't think you're a mistake if you don't do your website?
We're laughing at people right now. No, no, like, you know what I'm saying? That's such on a small scale, like, but so many people, I think, over exaggerate things they've done because they're hard on themselves. And I sometimes think that, you know, shame is totally, well, I always think shame is unnecessary, but I do think that, you know, sometimes people are too hard on themselves, and then it creates kind of this complex where it's just, it's too, don't know, it's not subtle enough for yourselves, you know? I mean, to just be too hard on yourself is another way of abuse, I think.
Self-abuse.
Yeah.
Well, then if you take William Blake's quote...
And who said that?
William Blake once said that shame is pride's cloak. So this is a whole different way of seeing shame. Like sometimes we might wear it like almost, you know, pride in some way. You know, some things, you know, even unhealthy, I don't want to say choices, but even unhealthy ways of living or lifestyle choices, when they're unhealthy for us, even those serve us in some way because they offer some kind of comfort. So for us to sort of disengage from an unhealthy pattern, for example, we have to find something else to fill it up that you know, brings us to a healthy place, but it's a healthier choice. But we have to let go of something. We have to replace it with something, is ultimately what I'm saying. So if shame is pride's cloak, that means that there's an unhealthy way of using shame. Yeah. Now who are we to underestimate our own intuition and instead portray who we think we should be? So this is again about being really authentic. And Ash and I talk constantly and consistently about being authentic, not only for ourselves, but for all people. We want to reach out and say, everybody be authentic. It's a really great place to be. And we invite it.
And you know when you're authentic too. I mean, like, that's what I was talking to you about before, about authenticity and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even the other angle, like when you know you're authentic, you really, like, you don't have to stay in the shame or the guilt. When you're authentic, you don't have to, like, it's almost like for me, when I feel, okay, I'm really being authentic, even if somebody's trying to get me down and say, you've done this, you're a bad person, you've done this, I'm still going, no, like, I really, truly feel.
Well, you
can
try
examine
it on.
Yourself. Exactly.
Well, yeah, it's not that you get defensive right away.
Right.
I mean, first of all, always be careful of anybody who does a lot of use to you, because usually that comes from their own place, right?
Yeah.
So whenever somebody's kind of pointing the finger and goes, you do this, and you do that, and you do this, I always, red flag goes up for me.
I know, me too.
Always, because I'm going, wait a minute here. Mm-hmm. I can handle it if you say, I'm feeling this way because of what I feel that you've done. But when you're pointing fingers and just accusing, that's different. But I know what you mean. I mean, it's just...
It's like, it's a form of validation. When somebody says to you, this is what you've done, and you're already feeling like an authentic person, okay? And somebody's saying, basically blaming you for something, saying, you've done this, you've wrecked this, you've done whatever. And then you go, okay, I'm going to look inside. I'm going to actually examine myself.
Well, you want to feel it.
Exactly. You want to see if maybe what this person is saying has any truth to it.
Yeah.
So you spend the time and you look inside yourself, and maybe you're going to find something that you need to pay attention to. So in a way, even if somebody's just being a total dick to you, you can really change that and turn that into positivity, because it's given you a chance to say, hey, it's like when you're really tired and you keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going, and finally you get a cold. And you have to stop. You need that rest. It's the same way sometimes when you have to look inside yourself and someone's giving you a reason to.
Well, this is why it's always better to respond rather than react. Because
exactly.
We can take anything on, and if we're being accused. Well, you're talking about someone else accusing you of something, not about us accusing ourselves.
Or accusing ourselves. If I feel something like that about myself, just saying, okay, you know what? Stop. Look inside.
So... getting back to what William Blake was saying. So this is different, though. I mean, what you're saying, go back and trust your intuition, right?
Instead of the pride kind of sticking out like a sore thumb.
Well, yeah, but trusting who you are. But again, who we are only can be experienced when we actually are authentic, right? Because if we underestimate this intuition that each of us has, like what you're speaking of, is taking it internally and examining it and feeling it, like going, does that feel right? For example, someone says, you have disrespected me because you're 20 minutes late for our appointment.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So then you can go, has that been disrespectful? And you can go, actually, it probably has been. I'm not valuing their time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of try that on and feel it, see how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a little twinge in your body, and I've talked about this before, is that our bodies don't lie. So
exactly.
Pay attention to where you feel it in your body. But if if we underestimate that part of ourselves and we're kind of just wearing our masks of who we think everybody thinks we should be. For example, mm-hmm. if we're very much involved in some kind of an organization and there's certain rules and regulations mm-hmm. and we may not even think that they're all right for us, but we still follow them because we want to belong.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we need to be authentic in that. But so if we don't do that though, if we portray who we think we should be as opposed to being authentic, doesn't that bring about the same shame? As if we were actually doing wrong to another knowingly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By being unfaithful to ourselves, we can't afford faith to anyone around us because trust has to start internally. And no mammal should ever feel shame.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're talking about guilt, guilt in and of itself it's a shape shifter because it's not I am a mistake, it's I made a mistake. So it's the first stepping stone to understanding ourselves. And by understanding ourselves, we're able to become the willingness that is that we need to change what we once thought as unchangeable due to our stage prior to the guilt.
Yeah, I know.
And I know that's quite a mouthful, but guilt is a beautiful shapeshifter. I think guilt really serves.
Mm-hmm.
But where it doesn't serve is when we don't really have that self-examination, where
yeah.
we kind of take someone else's, perhaps their rules that don't even have anything to do with us on.
Mm-hmm.
And it just isn't fitting, and we're trying to put that round peg in the square hole.
Well, I think guilt is a great shapeshifter as long as you don't take it too far and it becomes shame. Like, I think guilt can be a great shapeshifter, but before you even give it time to take shape, and it's already, like, escalating into your, like, shame is, to me, a little bit selfish, because you're going, I've done wrong, I'm a mistake.
Well, it can become self-indulgent,
yeah,
too, self-indulgent,
right? You become
more a victim.
Than selfish, yeah.
You become a victim, right? Oh, I'm this and I'm that. I mean, it can also be, it's corrosive too. So sometimes
yeah.
it can be depression, right? Can become shame.
Well, I remember when I was like, you know, really young and just whining about like things I was going through. And then just like having the realization like, holy crap, I'm not really asking how anybody else is how they're doing, what's going on. And you know, once I kind of learned that, like going, oh my gosh, I'm spending too much time whining and it's putting me in like, I did feel shameful for that, but I don't know. I was able to get out of it. So it was probably more guilt than shame, but I don't know. I totally agree with the shape-shifting because that shape-shifted me when I was younger and I was just too kind of self-indulgent with all the crap that I was going through, like with trying to figure myself out. You know, I as soon as I realized that didn't fly, I shape-shifted into somebody who really could pull things externally. You know what I mean? Like pull people's situations and help them rather than just looking to be helped.
Well, you and I have had really beautiful opportunities of being volunteers for people that are really in
mm-hmm.
tough times. I've worked at a recovery house for years and Ash, you were working at Youth Quest.
Mm-hmm.
And so we both dealt with a lot of people that were having issues around, deep issues around guilt and shame. And a lot of, for me, in my experience, was around addiction, because when you're an addict, you know, they say in the Narcotics Anonymous program
mm-hmm.
that an addict, you know, drugs come before husbands, wives, children, friends, mm-hmm. everyone, because when addiction is forefront, it's forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of guilt and shame when someone's cleaning up because they, you know, the things that they would never otherwise have done to get their drugs
mm-hmm.
become something that has to be dealt with.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of rooting through that. Or if you have, like in your experience, you want to share a little bit about
where I used to work?
Yeah, just about what you were dealing with.
It was really rough because, like, I mean, I worked at a, I guess you can't really even pinpoint exactly what it was. It was just a youth group that was really welcoming of, like, all, you know, sexual orientations, all, you know, races, social situations. Like, you know, there was a lot of youth in poverty. Like, it was pretty intense. And I worked at a Surrey drop-in. And, you know, every night we'd have from, I don't know, maybe about 5 to 60 kids. And it was always unpredictable. And there was always, like, volunteers around to really, instead of just, like, talk to everybody, pull kids aside because that's what they needed. And I just would see so much, like, you know, I remember this one girl, she was 11 years old, and she came, and she was, her parents were both addicts and in jail, and she realized she was gay, and at 11, I mean, that's gotta be something, right? And so I just remember her just feeling really, really well-rounded. Like, she just, like, my intuition said, wow, like, this little girl is so amazing for such a young age and being, you know, going through what she did. And she was born addicted to cocaine, I believe. Wow. And so she was just amazing. But I found, like, as soon as I kind of, you know, dissected her a little bit, you know, willingly, like, you know, just kind of counseling her a little bit, she was just like an eggshell. She just broke apart so quick. And sometimes that's what you need. Like, you really need to just, like, break down and then start rebuilding.
Well, yeah, Marianne Williamson talks about that, too, even.
Yeah.
Yeah, she talked about how she had to be broken right down before she could be rebuilt. Because if we've kind of put ourselves in a very shaky foundation, mm-hmm. you can't build a sturdy structure on a shaky foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to tear down the structure
exactly.
and begin again with the foundation. So mm-hmm. for a lot of us, you know, to really take a look at our lives, mm-hmm. to take a look at ourselves, to take a look at our mm-hmm. at our state of being, mm-hmm. the things we've created for ourselves, our choices.
Well, exactly. And that's why that girl, like, have not even really having much life experience.
Yeah,
11. I was, oh my God, like, you have been through more than I've been through in, you know, however old I was, like 20 years then. And the biggest thing, which we're probably going to, you know, go into now, is just the biggest form of guilt and shame I ever saw, even at a youth group for, you know, kids from 12 to 25, was the religious guilt and the religious guilt and shame. And, you know, what just the structure of religion has done to freedom and, you know, just personal happiness. And it was just crazy. Like, kids wanting to commit suicide because their religion said, you know, this was wrong, or they've had premarital sex, so they're going to hell, or, you know, just...
We're talking about masturbation even, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, how some ways of thinking is, you can't masturbate because if you masturbate, what is that, crazy? You're going to go blind, or what did you say about the cat?
In my school, they told us that a kitten would die.
And that was a Christian school, right?
Yeah.
It was a great religious school.
But it was just like...
But
kind
with
of like,
some really
yeah.
outmoded ideas
yeah.
and ways of control, right? Because yeah. and I was sharing with Ash when I was in grade one, I was 6 years
this
old.
This is a good story.
I was 6 years old in Toronto, and I remember I had a habit. I really liked how it felt to cross my eyes. And I would be sitting in my desk and crossing my eyes because I just thought it was a really cool feeling. And I remember my teacher at the time, I guess it must have been driving her crazy because, I mean, I guess looking at a cross-eyed kid isn't so appealing. And she actually came up to me and she said, you know, Cheryl, did you know that if you cross your eyes and there's even a little bit of wind, that your eyes will stay that way permanently? Right? This is a teacher telling a 6-year-old that her eyes would stay crossed forever if she gets caught in a wind, right? But the woman that I am now was the same that I was as a little girl.
Oh,
and I was
Lord.
Defiant in that I'm, you know, I was afraid because I thought, well, she's a woman of authority. She's older. She knows.
She'll tell you the truth.
She should tell me the truth. That's a whole other thing. But I was walking home that very day and there was a bit of a wind, a bit of a breeze. And I thought, oh, should I? And I really wrestled with it. Finally, I really quickly crossed my eyes fast and went back to normal and nothing happened. And so then I thought, I'll try it again. And I tried it again longer and nothing happened. I did it really long while I'm walking. Believe, I can even remember this. While I'm walking, I'm not even stumbling. Did it really long, crossed my eyes. And then my first thought, how dare that? She lied to me. And, you know, a lot of things, you know, we try to guilt and shame our children. We try to mm-hmm. guilt and shame our friends. We try to guilt and shame our spouses because of control. Again, so we're getting back to the religion aspect. And those of you who are, again, who know us well, know that we both had religious experiences, yet have both decided to not be religious at all because we just kind of want to be part of the world and, you know, just join
in. Be spiritual
in,
without
be spiritual and be about love. And love is, to me, source, creator, mm-hmm. you know, mother, father, God. And so anyways, my first kind of real taste of how someone will try to, you know, guilt me or lie to me because they want a certain outcome with my behavior. But if mm-hmm. we're all just really authentic, We can each celebrate each other as opposed to thinking we have to manipulate each other. If we feel a really great sense of self-confidence mm-hmm. and self-esteem, and we're not shrouded in guilt mm-hmm. and shame, and guilt and shame doesn't cause us to make decisions,
yeah.
you think about the bad decisions we make in guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I really, my own religious experience and my own religion, you know, being involved, very involved with a Pentecostal church, and for those of you who know Pentecostal, it's very, what can I say? It's very fundamentalist, and it's very much about show and the gifts of the Spirit and on and on and on. And so, you know, when you're not feeling, for example, that you've got a gift of the Spirit, then you're feeling right away guilty that God doesn't love you as much. Or if you have sexual desire or feelings for someone and you're feeling guilt and shame around it because you're thinking, well, that's wrong. I'm not, you know, I'm not married, or I'm not ready to be married, or... I mean, I just lived so much in my guilt and shame in my head, it was driving me literally quite crazy, because mm-hmm. I couldn't even really be present in my moment. I was constantly judging myself as to whether or not I was doing a good thing, if I was a good person. And you're hooped. If, you know, as soon as you're told right from the beginning that you were born a sinner, how can you actually get out of that? How mm-hmm. can you get freedom from guilt and shame? Because it's all about guilt and shame.
It's all about fear. Like, I mean, the one thing that I really had a problem with, is when you're taught to fear God.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, people. Like, if you're supposed to take comfort in somebody, you're supposed to
your
trust.
Creator.
Like, you know, like, Lord, the Lord is my shepherd. Like, why would I fear a shepherd who pets lambs? Like, you know, like, I'm just saying that because seriously, like, it's such a contradiction.
Well, the wrath of God, and, you know, if you don't do this, so you'd go back to Old Testament, right? And the fury of God and the wrath of God.
To me, that would be like if I was a kid in an abusive home. It's like I'm supposed to love the parent, yet I'm going to be abused.
Well, because that's ruled
like
by fear.
Like, fear them. Exactly.
Being ruled by fear. And I'm going to make you love me because you're going to be scared.
Yeah.
Out of your wits.
That's what it's like to me.
It doesn't make sense.
Fearing God, that's what it's like
at
to me.
At all. It's illogical.
It's weird.
I wish people would see how illogical, if they really were to examine everything. And we're not even here to say anybody should be any one particular way, because that's not what this is about. It's really just about being authentic and examining everything.
People are afraid to even examine, though. Like, look at, like, I'm not going to mention any names, but the Bible verse guy.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
You know, like,
yeah.
there's people who just won't listen to, you know, anything. They're just going to quote you Bible verses.
But, I mean, I'm going to grab some humility here, because I remember when I was a teen, and I was actually involved in a ministry called AIM, A-I-M, and I was doing street ministry, and I was also doing music ministry, and we're taught how to minister, and I was taught, for example, to tell everyone that the greatest deception, this is me just going off on a limb here, but the greatest deception that the devil had is that people didn't believe in him. And that, you know, I believed everything I said because that's what I was taught to say, and that's what I believed that was in the Bible and my understanding of the Bible, and I read the Bible. And there's a lot of stuff, you know, and a lot of it is all fear-based. And, I, you know, whenever I have people come to my door and want to speak to me about religion.
Oh, say the other day. What happened the other day?
Well, I
that
had,
was good.
I had a mother and a daughter come to my door, and they wanted me to support her. She had some kind of, she was in a Christian school, and they wanted me to support some kind of a Christian adventure. And I didn't feel comfortable doing that because I said, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't believe in Christianity. And you should have seen the face they gave me. And I wish I could tell people in that moment my story, because they look at me that I'm such a heathen and I have no idea and I am the enemy. And I understand it because I've been there. I've been on the other side, and I've been the one who's been witnessing and trying to tell people how they could go to heaven and be connected to higher source. And I realize now, I mean, there's a part of me that I'm apologizing, and I send love to those people because I was part of that. I was part of that infiltration of guilt and shame, and for that, I feel true remorse. But now, I can actually go to people that are feeling that and say, you know, I've been there. It's the same thing as being an addict. You know, I have now been clean and sober almost 14 years, but I can actually recognize and connect with people that are addicts in full-blown addiction because I've been there. So I have the empathy, I have the understanding, and I don't separate myself. And that's the beauty of life experience. And that's the beauty of guilt and shame.
Yeah, that is the beauty of guilt and shame, because as soon as you hit the bottom, there's nowhere to go but up.
Well, I like the guilt. Okay, again, real progress can only contribute to long-term change if you're willing to see shame for what it really is. It's non-existent. It's only an erratic sense of disappointment that lashes out to attack your self-esteem. And then you want to bury it, like the hope that you had before you saw your disappointment as shame. Now, real progress really can only come once you feel the guilt. You have to feel it, like Ash was saying, like internalize it.
Mm-hmm.
Go, okay, what is this guilt mine? Is it something I need to rectify? Do I need to do something about it? Recognize the guilt and then abolish it. And the way that you abolish it is you don't wish it away. You change the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I'm guilty because I was 20 minutes late to my friend's appointment, you know, the one that says how, you know, you're disrespecting me, I can go, actually, I do feel kind of guilty. You know, maybe I shouldn't have done that extra thing at home that I could have put off until later. You know, maybe I should recognize and value and validate my friend's time and just and go, yeah, you know, you're right. I'm not going to do that again. That's me abolishing my guilt because I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
I know exactly what you mean.
So I think guilt is a great gift because it helps us to see where we're missing the mark. But if it's guilt that is imposed on us by an outdated belief system for ourselves, because we actually are in flux, we're constantly changing. Mm-hmm. So we also have to kind of re-examine our belief system. Sometimes they don't serve us anymore.
Well, exactly. And if I can offer one piece of advice for guilt and shame, it's that, you know, allow yourself to feel guilt, but allow yourself to move on from that. When you start moving into the whole shame thing, really just turn back.
Yeah, or that's the time when you need to really start talking to somebody,
exactly,
too. This is reaching out. It's so important. You know, so many people would not take their lives if they actually talked to somebody about it, like, honestly.
And if they trusted themselves.
And that's why suicide hotlines are such a great thing. So, I mean, if they trusted themselves enough, first of all, one of the biggest, again, I get tons of gifts from my recovery process. And another really great gift was actually asking someone for help and having the humility to say, I need some help. I need some help here. And so it's so beautiful. One of the most beautiful things an addiction doctor said to me is, I had so much guilt and shame, and I walked into his office after my suicide attempt, and I mean, there's even more then. And he said, you know, Cheryl, drugs are a coping mechanism, albeit an unhealthy one.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no idea how much guilt and shame was lifted in that moment with that one sentence from
him.
Yeah,
I can only imagine.
Because I had been guilting and shaming myself, saying that I was a piece of, you know, I was a mistake. I was weak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was sick. I was weak. I you know, I couldn't get a handle on it.
And now you are like an inspiring, amazing person. Well, not that you weren't before.
I don't know if I was before, but all I know is that right now, as a result of that experience, I like who I am. But I had to take an intense look at all of my guilt and shame. And I had to have the courage to change the things that brought me guilt, because I don't want to live like a shamed person. I don't want to feel guilty. This is one of the reasons why I think it's important for everybody to not have secrets, because it truly is, when we have secrets, they are destructive to us. I mean, of course you're not going to go tell the world certain things, but have a confidant, have somebody that you can trust, that you can share things with, so that you don't feel that you're being consumed by a secret. And secrets can take you down a really dark road really fast. And that's when, you know, your guilt can turn to shame pretty quick.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Like if you have an addiction to pornography, for example, and you know that it's not something that's healthy for you or for your, even in your relationship or something, you know, that's just an example, but the secrets are the things that actually can cause our demise.
Exactly. Like, that's why it's, like, to me, like, that's even when I brought up before about, like, you know, maybe even, like, somebody just saying, okay, you've done this, you've done that. Like, somebody blaming you and taking on needless guilt or shame when really you know you've done nothing wrong. Like, to me, that's the same way, because it's almost going, okay, you have a secret, and I'm going to, you know, fault you for this or fault you for that. It's like, no matter what anybody tells you, like, seriously, like, I went through this with kids at the youth drop-in. No matter what anybody tells you, if somebody's trying to put, like, the guilt and the shame on you, it doesn't mean you have to feel it, because if you really feel, like, if you self-examine yourself and you feel that you are completely, well, I'm not going to say innocent, but you feel good about yourself and you don't feel that the accusation was true. Like, look at, like, even people coming to me and going, okay, you know what, like, my parents are making me go to church, but I know that, you know, it's not for me, or, you know, I'm 15 and I'm pregnant and I'm really gonna, you know, go to hell for this, or my parents are gonna kick me out. And it doesn't mean that, like, maybe that child is meant to be born into the world. Maybe, you know, it wasn't her fault. Maybe she was raped. Maybe she just was expressing love with somebody, even too young, whatever. But there's so many different circumstances around circumstances, and someone's always going to hate you for just standing there. It doesn't matter. Don't take on the guilt and shame that is, you know, put on you.
Of the world.
Of the world, exactly.
Don't take on the guilt and shame of the world.
Exactly.
Always self-examine.
Exactly.
Always try things on for size. If you're having internalized guilt, like it's coming from your own self, you're telling yourself that doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Examine that. Change the behavior. Or just stop feeling guilty.
Exactly.
You know, say, for example, if you're trying to lose weight and you love chocolate and you're having a chocolate a day and you've decided, okay, I'm only going to have a chocolate a month.
Yeah.
And then you have a chocolate in a week. Are you going to, is that going to just destroy you?
Oh.
Or are you just going to change your mind? Say, you know what? I'm going to allow myself to have a chocolate a week and I'll be a little bit heavier and I'll be fine with it. It's also about changing our perceptions of who we should be.
Well, exactly. That's actually a really good point. Like, I mean, look at how much that's in people's faces. Like the pressure to be exactly perfect. And if you're not, to feel guilty or shame about it, like being heavier or something, you know, like screw all the stupid, horrible images that we're putting on little girls. Like they're developing so fast now. Like even when we work, Cheryl and I DJ, and with my dad's company, Spin Doctor DJ Services, go to their website, by the way, spindoctordj.net, thank you. And maybe you can book us. Anyway, we DJ at a pool. And even seeing some, like, the littlest girls that are 5 that are wearing, like, 2-piece bikinis that look like they're
little
14. Oh, my God. Like, and we're taught that, you know, all the little girls are being taught now, like, oh, you know, this is what you have to do, or you have to look a certain way. And, like, do you think, like, do I care that I'm not a size 5? No. I am totally fine. Like, it's about feeling happy and content with yourself and not allowing yourself to feel shame because maybe you're not exactly how you want to be or how everybody, you know, just freaking be. Okay.
There. Well, and that reminds me, I've said this before, I'll say it again, Jan Arden being told, you know, she wouldn't make it in the music business unless she, you know, it was the difference between her being a star and not a star in the music business was 50 pounds. And her reaction and response was, I'm not willing to gain 50 pounds. Wasn't that great?
That's awesome.
And it's up to all of us to sort of change what we're being told that we should be. We have to, you know, we talk about a love revolution. Everything has to be to come from us. It comes from each individual. It doesn't, you know, we do make a difference. And the difference starts with each of us. We have to make differences with ourselves and be satisfied. You know, Joseph Campbell talks about living in your bliss and following your bliss. Each of us has to follow and live in our bliss. It's not about I'm living in my bliss, you know, don't you want to be like me? No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what is your bliss? What brings you joy? And guilt and shame don't serve any of us. I mean, guilt does to the point where we can rectify things that we're not doing that makes us happy, that is not in our bliss. Shame is definitely something that needs to be abolished because it serves nothing. It's self-destructive.
Well, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time even trying to be somebody else and say, okay, you know, I'm not going to take on this. Like Kurt Cobain said, I'm going to say this, trying to be somebody else is a waste of the person you are.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you can actually just step back and go, okay, you know, this is who I am and I'm going to work through this stuff and not try and just sweep it under the rug, you're going to be a lot happier. And that leads me to saying, call in number 888-628-6008. That was so good we did it together like that.
We've got a few minutes. We're almost at the end of the show.
We've
got
about
5 minutes.
So if
you want to call now and say something, do so. But we can definitely fill in this time I just wanted to mention, getting back to the music business, Ash and I have been in the music business for many, many years, and had lots of advice and talked to a lot of people who've been successful and a lot of people who are bigger in the business and agents and PR people and whatnot. And, you know, it's interesting how a lot of it is, you're almost led to think that you have to kind of jump on bandwagons, but yet the truth and the reality is you've really got to maintain your originality and be authentic and different. Exactly. Because it's the authentic and different people that actually make a difference.
They're going to get heard in the long run.
But then what happens is that everybody's copying them. You know, suddenly they're the hot things. Like even when Nickelback came out and suddenly they were really hot.
And then everybody sounded like them.
Nickelback. And so really, you know, we're using our music experience, you know, being in the entertainment industry to equate here, because it doesn't matter in the end. If you were to just sort of take yourself to the day of your passing and you were to look back to your life and you were to go, you know, would I have done it all the same? I don't think so. Life is too quick. Savor each moment. Enjoy who you are. Celebrate who you are. If you're heavy, be proud of it. If you don't like being heavy, then get into a program. Like, I'm just going to use that as an example. Or if you are gay, be proud of it. You know, don't feel that you have to be anything that you're not. If you're not gay, be proud of it. It's just everybody being who they truly, truly, truly are. And recognizing that once you do have that place in yourself, within yourself, that sense of no guilt running your life. Guilt is actually operating as almost like a rudder, and it kind of, you know, is telling you where you need to sort of change so you don't go off course.
So does embarrassment in a way. Like, I mean, like, speaking about the music industry and stuff, like, I was just thinking about that and that hit me. Like, embarrassment, too, can really, like, cause people, like, there's shy people out there who can't even really step out of their skin, and as soon as they do, they're, like, ripped apart, and they just don't want to, like,
do it again.
Make the effort, and they're just too shy and
do
shameful.
It again.
Well, I would like to touch upon this for not even 30 seconds.
Okay.
When I was doing an interview at Lai Tai Restaurant with this woman who I was supposed to be on her station, I went in there, and she was telling me that she wanted me to be a cheerleader in a video. I took a sip of water and I laughed at the wrong time and spit it all over her head. Like, I was so embarrassed that I didn't want to, I just picked up and I went, okay, you know what, this is not going to happen. It didn't. She didn't want me anymore. But you know what, that didn't stop me. It's about not taking yourself too seriously either, but respecting yourself enough to take yourself a little bit seriously.
Yeah, but that also has another side to it where you're basically saying there's no way I'm ever going to get in a cheerleading outfit.
Well, in one sense, I was like, okay, this woman's nuts and I don't want to work with her anyways. But
well, we have a couple minutes. We've got one caller. We're going to bring Betty from Burnaby to line 3. You're on the air. Do you want to say something in 2 minutes or less? We'd love to hear it. Betty?
This is Betty.
Hi,
Betty. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. I've thought about you very, so much. And
that's so cool. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm enjoying your show. And
thank you, Betty.
So we'll have to get together and have coffee one day.
Definitely.
And that's how I just wanted to phone and just say I'm enjoying your show. I'm listening, and was listening to some of your songs on the web, and I'm so thrilled just to be able to talk to you and just connect with you again. Hi, Ashley.
That's so nice. Hi, nice to meet you. It's so awesome that you called in. And is there anything that you want to say towards what we've been talking about today? Or is it just a hello?
Oh, well, yeah, I don't think I'd have enough time to say what I would like to say about shame and guilt. 1 minute doesn't cut it. But I just wanted to let you know that I was listening to you and enjoying your show.
That's great, Betty. It's been a long time since I've seen you, and it's wonderful to hear from you.
Yeah, we'll have to get together, Cheryl.
Definitely.
Have a great night, hon. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Big hug. Bye, Betty. That was cool, Betty. I've known Betty for years. That's really cool. It's good to hear from friends, and yes, Betty, I know what you meant when you said that a minute doesn't cut it. And it's true for most of us. A minute doesn't cut us. And hopefully, you know, the last 55 minutes that we've been talking about guilt and shame, that we've made some sense. And basically, the main goal always with every one of our shows is to inspire. Mm-hmm. And just to, you know, to tell you that we love you, and we love you exactly as you are. And if there's things that you're doing in your life right now that are bringing you guilt and shame, we would encourage you to not believe that you are something to be shamed, to feel ashamed.
Nobody should ever be ashamed of themselves,
that you should celebrate who you are. And if you're having trouble celebrating who you are on your own, then definitely reach out and ask for help. And if there's anything we can do, you can always email us, and we can, you know,
I was just thinking that.
We'll do what we can, you know, to send you to the right places, or, you know, because we've had a lot of experience in our lives with different organizations and whatnot, and perhaps we can help you with that. And we appreciate all of you, and we encourage you to continue listening to our shows. We encourage you to call in and share your ideas, because this world is about all of us, not just about us. And that's the same with the show. Mm-hmm. And we offer ourselves to you, and invite you to offer yourselves to us. Kiss a tree, like we say. We are excited that our song, The Fusion, is now in rotation on BBS Radio. So BBS Radio has a music station.
Yeah.
So log in and you're going to hear The Fusion at least twice a day. And don't forget, our next show on November 20th is Look What the Cat Drug In. We're going to be talking about drug use, misuse in music and just day-to-day living. And our hologram Halloween vlog is on www.youtube.com/hologrammusic. Check out our website and our Twitter and Facebook for upcoming updates. And
yeah, the website is going to be worked on. We've been so busy that we've kind of let it slide, so I will be doing website updates this week a little bit, and the next week probably more so next week, but this week as well.
So are you feeling really guilty about that?
Not really.
How about shame? Is that set in yet?
I am tired and I am busy.
And I give myself space to be tired and busy.
Not really. I'm ready for a nap.
And on that note, we do say thank you so much for listening. And
we like you and we love you.
We definitely love you. Spread the love. Join the love revolution. That's what The Fusion's all
about.
Think
of this. Doesn't it sound weird to say to like all our listeners, we like you? It's like, no, that in itself is like, we should be saying love.
But isn't the ultimate is to be liked and loved?
Yeah.
There you go. On that note, we invite you to stay tuned. We've got Jeannie Martin's show coming up, The Creative Field After Ours, our next show November 20th. The next 2 weeks, love yourselves, love each other, love nature, animals, trees, and we'll talk to you soon.
I'm trying to think of anything else, if there's anything else to love. Okay.
Yourselves.
Yeah, yourselves. Bye.
Bye.